book of Daniel. We know that when the Antichrist shows up, he's going to be of two to three races. He's going to be either he's going to be Jewish, we know that, and he's going to be probably Arab, and he's going to probably have a little bit of the other race in him as well. So he's going to be all races. He's going to be all things to all men. But in Daniel chapter, let's go to Daniel chapter 7. And Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Actually, Revelation 6. Go to Revelation 6. Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 13. Or 6, I'm sorry. I keep saying 13. All right, Revelation, what did I say, 7? Yeah, Revelation 7. Daniel 7. Man, I'm... Anyway, Daniel chapter 7, look at verse 1. Daniel 7, 1. And you know, I watch the news. I admit, I watch the news. And I can't watch some of the news because it gets crazy. You got craziness going on in the world. And you think, well, I never would have thought our country would be like this. I never thought that the world would be like this. And it's coming. It's coming down the pike. I'm not trying to be, you know, doomsday kind of guy telling you, or the sky is falling and all that stuff. But you got to get your eyes open. And if you know something, you know what the Bible teaches that's going to come, you won't be caught off guard. And so look in Revelation 7, look at verse 8. He says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And this is talking about the Antichrist coming up. And the Antichrist comes in, and he shows up, and he's speaking some great things. I just heard they're giving Donald Trump, they're giving him the Nobel Peace Prize. They gave it to Obama, and Obama, the only thing he did to get the Peace Prize was talk. And now, Trump has done something. He got his son-in-law to go and bring Israel and the Arab immigrants. And now all the Arabs are trying to line up and try to get hooked up with this thing. And we say, what does that mean? That means when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them. Look out. Something's coming. Something's coming down the pike. And look at verse 21. And I beheld the same horn make war with the saints and prevailed against them. Back up to 19. That 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. Now, we know the fourth beast coming up in Daniel 7 is something else. And I believe the fourth beast could be America. It could be America. I believe the Antichrist is being trained right now, or being taught or trained in America. Say, in Revelation 13, that's why I got it on my mind, the only time you can find America in the Bible that looks like America would be Daniel 13. I mean, Revelation 13. That's the only time you can find it. And anything that looks like America. And they say America is the great melting pot. And the Bible calls a leopard coming out of the sea. And who would ever thought that America would be embracing communism, socialism, socialism. And they're embracing it. Young people embracing it. Bernie Sanders. And then Joe Biden changed his whole belief in what he was a moderate somewhat. And now he's changing, becoming an extremist when it comes to socialism. But look at 19, he says, and I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devour and break in pieces and stamp the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and the others which came up before whom three fell, even of that horn had eyes, like this, like back in chapter 7 and verse 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. He says, horn had eyes and a mouth speaking great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld the same horn made war of the saints, prevailed against them. Now go to chapter 8. Oh, actually, go to chapter 6 of Revelation. Go to Revelation 6. Now, I believe we're in Revelation chapter 3 right now, where we're living right now. Our time frame, where we're at right now, is Revelation chapter 3, near the end of Revelation 3, the Laodicean church age. But here, this is tribulation. Now, I would say this. I believe tribulation is 7 years, but it's going to get cut short because of, the Bible says, no flesh would be saved. But in Revelation 6, you find this guy showing up, and in Revelation 6, you go through the whole tribulation right in this chapter. And the whole tribulation is a period of time which God calls Daniel's 70th week, and he also calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. And this guy shows up, and he says in verse 1, and this is, for some of y'all, this is probably hard to grasp. It's hard to get hold of. But as you read the Bible, as you study the Bible, you start seeing things. You start seeing things coming together. And in Revelation 6, your first guy shows up. He's on a white horse. And you always say the good guy wears a white hat and rides a white horse. This guy is not the good guy. He's not Jesus Christ. A lot of the commentators, a lot of the preachers in America believes this is Jesus Christ. And they teach it. And it's not right. Because it tells you what's going to follow. Revelation chapter 6, I had a guy call, and he's a Presbyterian, and he's right here in Smyrna, and he called, and he wanted to get together, and we was talking, and he said, I'd like to buy you dinner, go get together where you go out to dinner. I said, okay. Well, I said, well, what do you believe? I said, you believe in salvation by grace through faith plus nothing? He goes, oh, yeah, that's what I believe. I said, well, good. I said, what Bible do you use? He goes, well, I took Hebrew and Greek, and I used the ESV, and I said, we're staunch King James. And we believe the King James. I said, I took Greek too. And I said, but I still didn't ruin. I said, I believe the King James Bible is the word of God. Without doubt, we don't bend on that. And he was real quiet. All the churches go along with all the new Bibles. They go along with all the new Bibles and all that stuff. We don't go, we go stay with the old book, this old book. And they all believe Revelation 6 is the Jesus Christ coming on the white horse. Jesus doesn't show up on a white horse till Revelation 19. So look at Revelation 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And there he is. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And he has a bow in his hand. He's riding the white horse. He's riding along there. And he's got a bow in his hand. He's got a crown on his head. And he's riding along. He's conquering the world without even firing a shot. How's he doing it? With his mouth. You see back in Daniel, it says he speaks great things. And he talks. And you got to watch out for somebody who's a good talker. You got to watch out for somebody who's always smooth talking. You know, when you go to buy a car and you go to a salesman, he's always smooth. They say, you know, some guys can sell Eskimos ice cubes. But you got to watch out for a guy that's a smooth talking. If a guy gets saved and he uses that mouth that God gave him, that ability to win souls, that's good. That's a good thing. But if he uses the mouth to con people and to take what you got away from you, look out. This guy here is going to con the whole world. He's conning the whole world. I mean, we've seen some cons show up. As a matter of fact, you know, you see it in Congress. You see a bunch of cons, all of them. You see it in the Washington area. You see all that. And you see, and then you look at Russia. You look at that guy. And you look at China. You look at that guy. You know, they're dictators. And people don't want to think about that. You got the Russian Putin. He's a dictator. He's supposed to have been voted in, you know, election, but he kills his opponents. Anybody that tries to go against him that's gaining steam, they poison them. The guy had to fly to Germany, his running against him, they poisoned that dude. Oh, thank God it ain't like that in America. You know, you said, why are you talking about this tonight? You can thank God you're born in America. Even though America's in the mess it's in, and with all the stuff going on, the racial things and all the, you know, Antifa and all that stuff going on, but still, you can thank God. I was talking to a brother last night. He's up in, they've been having riots in Rochester. And I said, what are you out there rioting? It was the preacher, Brother Roscoe. He goes, no, we're out here preaching. Amen. They're across the street, but we're preaching Jesus to them. I said, good, brother, good. Amen. That's what the answer to all this junk is, preach Jesus Christ to them. Try to win them and not lose your temper. No matter what color you are, don't lose your temper and preach Jesus Christ. That's the answer. The answer to the world is Jesus. Amen. And the world don't want to hear it. Young people don't want to hear it. Older people don't want to hear it. And look at verse 3. And this verse 2, the guy takes the bow. He has a bow and he's got a crown. He's conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Good night, man. You know what? We're seeing just a little bit of it. And when this thing really takes place, when it's really in full swing, I mean, you're talking about people going nuts, really nuts. What we're seeing in America, we're seeing a little bit of it. We're just seeing a little bit of it. You only see a couple hundred people here and there doing this in the streets. But this thing here, the world's going to go nuts. You know what you can thank God for? You're not going to be here. Say, why? Because in chapter 4, go back to Revelation 4, we'll be gone. Revelation 4:1, John gives you the insight here. John the Beloved. He says, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. After the church age, a door gets opened in heaven. Does heaven have doors? Yes, it does. It has windows. God opened up windows in heaven. Heaven has doors. He said, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said what? Come up hither. That's John. John represents the church. And the church is saved people, red, yellow, black, or white. They are precious in his sight. That's saved people. So when this takes place in Revelation 6, we're not here. When I first got saved, man, I was reading the Bible. Man, it scared me half to death. I mean, I'm a kid. My wife would read the Bible, and I'm reading about Revelation. I'll go, oh, my God, oh, my God. We better get a bunker. We better have food. We better have guns. We better have weapons. We better have and you got some people doing that. Yep. And, I mean, it's nothing wrong with that. If you want to do it, that's fine. Help yourself. That guy that came down from New York, I told you he had a bunker. He said he's not using it. He thought. And when I called him up one night, played a joke on him, and told him I was the FBI, I was watching every movie made. His wife was in the background yelling, don't tell him nothing, don't tell him nothing. He's a conspiracy guy. He was anyway. And conspiracy people believe, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. I said, I've told one guy one time, he believes all these conspiracies happening, all this government's doing this, they got concentration camps they're going to send you to, and they probably do. I said, what if they do? What are you going to do about it? What, are you going to kill somebody come up on your doorstep? You're going to shoot the first guy that comes up and send them to hell? What are you going to do, man? You don't find that in the book of Acts. You don't find you didn't find Simon Peter and James and John all. Simon Peter did say one time, he said, Lord, should we get some swords? And the Lord said, yeah, get. And he said, here's two. He said, that's good. And then when they came out to get Jesus that night in the garden, Simon Peter says, I'll fight for you, Lord. And he takes a sword and cuts the servant of the high priest's ear off. And Jesus said, put up your sword. They that live by the sword should die by the sword. Put it up. And Jesus reached down, put the ear back on the guy's head. By that time, I would have been running. If I was in that crowd, you put an ear back on a guy's head and it goes back on with no stitches. It just poof, goes right back on. And the disciples learned from that point, you're not going to take this kingdom by force. You're going to have to trust God and live for God. So you got a bunch of people thinking they're going to take the kingdom by force. That's what the world does. And guess what? They're going to be surprised. When Jesus comes, he'll take it by force. Now look at Revelation 6. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. Red representing blood. Power was given to him that sat there on him to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, and the third beast said, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. It says, time's short. See? The balances is time's running out. You're weighed in the balance. Time's running out. He said, I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. I've said this back when we went to Iraq and Iran, all that stuff, we went over there. I said, we went over there, it was because of oil. You think we would have messed with Iraq if it wasn't for that? It was oil. It was oil. And they can say all they want. You know, we was trying to find Al-Qaeda and all that stuff. No, it was about oil. And that's why Saudi Arabia wanted us in there, protect their oil. They had to protect their oil. Saddam Hussein was going to burn all the oil fields. It says, hurt not the oil and the wine. Don't hurt it. And when he had, that's another thing. You think about hurt not the oil and the wine, you think about another thing. Isn't it something that the states, the United States of America, they kept all the liquor stores open but shut all the churches? Isn't that something? They wanted all the churches shut down, New York especially. New York, California, shut the churches down. They're fining preachers in California right now, still trying to keep them shut. Why? They don't want no preaching going on. They don't want nobody to read the Bible. They don't want nobody to study and get saved and all that. The devil's behind the whole thing. You know, the Bible says the devil, take your Bible, look on 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. The guy who runs this world right now is not Jesus Christ. Now, he has overall say. The devil can't do nothing to God's children or God's people without the Lord allowing it. No, look at this. If you're newly saved, you need to read your Bible and study it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 3. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, who's the God of this world? The devil. Have blinded the minds of them which believe not. Have you ever tried to witness to your family and they say, oh, you're crazy? After I got saved and went home and started telling my family about Jesus Christ, they said, you're crazy. You're smoking something. You're doing something. You're on something. And I mean, I started going to church. I got my hair cut. I quit doing drugs. I quit drinking. I quit stealing. I quit all that stuff. I started quitting cussing. Man, they thought, my God, what happened to him? He's in a cult. That's what's happened. So when you get saved and you're trying to live right and you're telling your family you need to get saved, they said, oh, shut up. You're in a cult. That's what you are. You're in a cult. They don't want to hear it. The God of this world, man's got them blinded. So if you're facing that at home, you're facing that, you're trying to witness to your family, trying to get them saved, and they start saying, you know, the important thing, be careful what you say. And because you better make sure you're living what you say you're living. The God of this world will put, he'll put roadblocks in front of you to stop you. After I got saved, before I was saved, I was chasing the women, chasing the drinking, chasing the drugs. And man, after I got saved, I wanted to do right. Everything started, they started wanting to give it to me. The girls started coming up to me, all that stuff. And then the guys wanted to give me drugs. Everybody wanted to give me drinks. Everybody wanted to do all that. Why? The God of this world wants to get you back. If he can't destroy you, he can't take your soul, but he can sure ruin your life. God's got a plan for your life. I was telling a boy the other day, I said, God's got a plan for your life, and the devil wants to keep you in such a deray of confusion that you're just going to follow what he does. You're going to listen to him. It takes something to break away from it. And the only way you're going to break away is getting this book. You'll go back to the same old stupid junk that you used to do. Drinking, carrying on, fighting, all that stuff, getting mad at race. You know, you'd say, do you hate any race? No, I do not. I don't hate no race. I don't hate none of them. I want to see them saved. Why do you think we send missionaries around the world? Care about them. When you get saved, man, God changes your life. God changes your heart. You care about people's souls. I don't care what color they are. You got a track in your pocket, and you look at a black man or a white man, whatever, you witness all of them. People try to use race as a tool to keep you down. The devil tries to use that. Look what the Bible says. He says in Revelation, I mean 2 Corinthians 4, it says in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel. Remember we were talking about the candlesticks? You're supposed to be a candlestick. You're supposed to be lit. You're supposed to be lighting the way for others, for your family, for your children, for your friends. People say, well, they're my friends. I ain't going to tell them about Jesus. And then you don't care about them. You're not a friend at all. If you don't tell your friends about Jesus Christ and have enough guts to live for God in front of them, you don't care about them. You're just a hypocrite. You're weak, spineless. You ain't got no guts. You'll sit around, drink beer with them, talk about everything else with them, but you won't talk about Jesus Christ and quit your drinking. You're spineless, gutless. Well, after I got saved, man, I quit going to that bar. I quit drinking. I quit doing all that stuff. Why? Because I got burdened for my friends. You know, all the guys I grew up with are dead. They're all dead. I think some of them got in. But as a Christian, it's time to stop playing games. Amen. The God of this world, man, he's on duty all the time. He's working. If your testimony ain't backing up what you're supposed to be, then get it right. Get the thing right. Let your light so shine before men that they might see the good works of your Father. He says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Your servant. I'm a servant. We're no more than that. We're sons and daughters, but we're servants. Right now, we're servants. We're supposed to be serving the Lord. The Lord says, take up your cross and follow me. A person that loves God will take up their cross and follow him. And they'll be willing to pay whatever price it is it's going to cost because they know what Jesus did for them. He says, for God, man, we got to stop right there. I'm looking at the time. Oh, man, we want to pray for Miss April tonight.